Chloe Frankel, who was 16, Gilad Shear, who was 16, and Eyal Yifrach, who was 19. Many people have pointed out the quote, Am Yisrael Chai, Klal Yisrael's resiliency to keep going is expressed best in those words, Am Yisrael Chai. And everybody around the world has pointed out the same thing. We found out the news on a Friday a few weeks ago, and we started to daven, and we davened through it, including Monday, and you can do the math yourself. It's spot on 18 days. And Chai is, of course, the gematria, the numeric value of 18. Am Yisrael Chai. For 18 days from that Friday until Monday, Am Yisrael, we came together as a nation. There were 18 days that every shul around the world stopped and said Tehillim. Camps around the country stopped to do things inspirational with their campers. There was no such thing as a meeting or any gathering in the last 18 days where either the beginning, middle, end, or all of them, that the format wasn't changed to talk about the three boys and what we could do to bring them back. It's been noted how every chasana, or many I should say, I know some Ispalim told me they attended ones like that. I was in a chasana in Cleveland on Sunday. I had the privilege to be Masadik Kedushin. And the families asked me, this was Sunday before we found out, stop the chuppah and tell them to daven for the boys. For 18 days, Klal Yisrael davened and cried, and Klal Yisrael for 18 days dreamt a dream that the three mothers that we constantly saw in the news, who were literally the epitome of faith and emunah, like you would have been listening to a Musar Sefer, keep davening and we're maminim. We dreamed that dream for 18 days, hayinu kecholmim, that they would be shivas tzion, they would return to their families. There were 18 days that sarcasm was replaced with a gentle way of talking. There were 18 days that a toughness was actually replaced with a gentleness. And then for a lot of us, that all came to an end, or at least we were horrified beyond. You can't even come up with a word when we heard the news. One thinks about the fact that one of the mekubalim of our generation, Reb Yaakov Adas, he actually took upon himself when he heard the news that he was going to fast for the three boys. He fasted for an entire week. And then it came to Shabbos, Parshas Korach. He ended up in Shaarei Tzedek Medical Center as a result of the week of fasting on behalf of the Bochum. That's where he ended up needing to go. On Friday night, he felt well enough to walk up to the Shul's Beis Medrash in the hospital on the 8th floor. He started to daven, but then he burst into weeping during Kabbalah Shabbos and he fell to the floor again. And throughout the world, we all had different ways of expressing and telling our children what they should do to be noisei ba'ol and to share the pain. One of the things that many spoke about, I believe it was the topic of Rabbi Weinreb when he spoke two nights ago. Many articles have been written on it. What about the tefillos? What about the tears? What about the davening? Now, I'd like to add something that I think is actually accurate in how true it is. It could very well be that never in the history of the world were more tefillos offered in quantity and perhaps even quality than with this occasion of davening for the three boys. And I'll tell you very simply why it makes sense. Because now with social media and the ability to send out a message to hundreds of thousands, if not millions, even when something happened 4 years ago, 8 years ago, certainly 20 years ago, we remember Nachshon Waxman. There couldn't have been the same number of tefillahs. It's not possible, because social media, when it didn't exist, then couldn't have created the billions, if not trillions, of tefillahs of the last 18 days. So I think it would be fair to say, exponentially, there may never have been more tefillahs offered than for the three kedushin that we dreamed would come back. And many people have been speaking about this. What happened to the tefillahs? And how do we understand that? Again, it's not the topic of what I want to address tonight, but many have. And of course, we always point out that there's no tefillah that's le'ibud. There's no such thing as a tefillah that's ever lost. I myself pointed out at a levaya last week that my father mentions that in the Ne'ilah prayer we say, "Shetosim demaisenu benoit chaliyos," put our tears in a flask to be. That's a dangling phrase. To be where? To be when? To be what? So my father would explain that tefillos are placed in a flask and we don't know where, to whom, how, and when they'll be answered, but answered they will be. Even that concept may be something we can't get our hands around, but we are maminim b'nei maminim, which is why you came tonight. One of the articles brings down a quote from the Stipler. I'll mention it in English. The great Stipler of B'nai Brak said, in talking about where do those tefillos go, "Do not be dismayed. There's no such thing as a sincere prayer that goes unanswered. Any heartfelt request addressed to God must be answered. It can't be otherwise. If it's not answered today, it will be answered tomorrow. If not tomorrow, in a week. If not in a week, in a month. If not in a month, then in a year. If not in a year, then in 10. If not in 10, then in 100 years or more." Can we understand the concept of a tefillah being answered in 100 plus years? If the prayers are not answered in your lifetime, then they'll be answered in the lifetime of your children and your einikov. We cannot say for sure when a tefillah will be answered, but we can rest assured that every prayer will be answered somehow and someday. I can't possibly fathom, no one can calculate, the intensity of the tefillahs around the world of those 18 days was beyond anything we ever experienced. Those tefillahs are put somewhere to be answered for someone and somehow. And this is a concept that's the very basis of our emunah. Exclamation point. Right now, Eretz Yisrael finds itself in a frightening situation. And by right now, I mean even just in the last couple of days, where every few hours we're listening to the news to see the latest developments. We certainly need the shmira of those tefillahs from Am Yisrael Chai. One of the members by the Frankel home in Nof Ayalon, when he, I believe it was one of the siblings, he got a phone call from someone that obviously it impressed him greatly, and he mentioned how we're asking Am Yisrael not to stop their davening. This was, of course, when we were still thought they were alive. He says, "I got a phone call from someone who said, I pledged to put on," the person didn't put on tefillin. He said, "I pledged to put on tefillin so the boy should come home safely." And the brother, Naftali's brother, stopped him and says, "I'm asking you to amend that. Continue to put on tefillin even after they come home safely. What happened for 18 days didn't end on Monday. It has to be a very real beginning." The wisdom of the sibling to say, "Thank you for putting on tefillin so my brother should come home, but change that. Continue to put on the tefillin well after he's home." And obviously he ended up home, but not the home as we understand it. He ended up in the home together with the Ribbono Shel Olam. In the Shear family, Gilad's father, Ophir, said, when he was addressing Gilad and the others as well, he said, to his son, I'm waiting to wrap you in a talus and to make birchas koyanim. I'm waiting to wrap you like a father does with a child and to be able to protect you. And he davened that for all three children. It ended up differently. The three kedoshim were wrapped, each one in a talus, but not in the way that we davened. Maybe some of you heard Rabbi Reisman, the Rosh Hashiva of Torah V'Tas, will quote him a few times tonight. You can, like I can, go onto the Chazak line and listen to what he said. If you're willing to listen, no one came tonight. Mia isha yori v'racha leva. If you didn't come tonight, it's not for the faint-hearted and the feeble. We came tonight to see what we can do. Rabbi Reisman said so eloquently, this did not turn out the way we wanted it to. But we better make sure that it turns out the way the Ribbono Shel Olam wants it to. How we wanted it to, that didn't happen. But is it going to end and turn out the way Hashem wants it to? Am Yisrael Chai, yesterday in New York, a woman, Miriam Yocheved Cohn, gave birth to triplets, three boys. And she named one Eyal, the other Gilad, and the third Naftali. Actually, that's not completely the story. She named the first one Eyal Yosef, and the second one Gilad Menachem, and the third one Naftali Chaim. Because that's what tonight's gathering is about. It's about a Menachem, and it's about a Chaim, and it's about a Yosef. She understood, and that's what she named her three children. In the Frankel home, outside, not only were they hoping in Am Yisrael Chai, they actually set up in Nofai Alon, near Modi'in, they set up a learning tent in front of the house. Not only for learning to happen in front of the home in their schus, around the clock. You'll hear later on how in the Shavei Chevron Yeshiva, where normally the lights go out past midnight, they made up, the lights will not go out, we will not stop learning until we find them. And by the way, in that tent that was set up outside the Frankel home, it wasn't only boys from his yeshiva that came, they came from yeshivas around the country. You see, the key over here in the word Chai is Am Yisrael. And hence there were yeshiva bachurim that came from the entire world, the entire country, I should say, to make sure that the learning tent and the lights will always continue. Now there is an article that I read a number of days ago from Rabbi Yonason Rosenblum. He's well known to some of you, Rabbi Jonathan Rosenblum. We actually had him here a bit over a year ago. He's one of the most eloquent writers and spokespeople for Orthodox Jewry. He writes extensively. He happened to have written an article the week before last in the Mishpacha magazine. And I found that every line that he said was so powerful, I started, as you might be able to see here, to highlight his comments, thinking, as I often do, I'll quote half a sentence. But I'm not here to try to make some novel pshat. I'm here to try to give the three families in Eretz Yisrael some nechama. And let me tell you how they'll get nechama. As Rabbi Castle always quotes so beautifully, and I think it's so spot on correct. The three Kedoshim were killed, but they didn't die. And if we leave here tonight with the things we're going to discuss for the next 10 or 12 minutes, and then there will be a 2 or 3 minute video to watch, then you'll make sure that although they were killed, it can't be that the three of them, it can't be that Eyal and Naftali and Gilad died. That's up to us.
And so I found myself reading his article and finding sentence after sentence to be so impeccable that I said, I'll read it as is. And this is the lesson that I felt from the many we've heard. Personally, it struck me the most. He starts off by talking about the fact that whenever tragedy strikes, everyone is obligated to search their deeds as an individual and as a community. Every person has to commit themselves to repairing that which needs improvement. Now listen to this quote from the Rambam. If a person refuses to examine their ways, and they treat a tragedy as just another natural event, zok the Rambam, if you don't change, you're guilty of the greatest cruelty. You're preventing yourselves from doing tshuva. And the Rambam actually goes on to even say more. The reason that we came tonight, Baruch Hashem, such an oilam, and you'll hear more how he expresses it so eloquently, is to ask ourselves, Rabbi Reisman quotes the pasuk in Parashat Shoftim. Rabbi Reisman, such a gadol b'Yisrael, is able to do that. He's able to quote in Shoftim where there's a body found in Eretz Yisrael, and they make people say, Yodeinu lo shafu es adam hazeh, we didn't spill this blood. What do Chazal mean? Do you really think they're the ones who spilled the blood and killed the person? No. Yodeinu lo shafu es adam hazeh means that we should soul search and seek our responsibility. No, a person cannot, we don't have the ability or the prophecy to say this happens because of that. People love that when they hear that they have to improve on something, you're saying it happened because of that. No one can do that. We can't say it happened because of this or because we don't have that ability. But we do have the ability to say, Yadeinu lo shafu es adam hazeh. Where is our responsibility in what happened? He goes on to say what I just told you, that it's forbidden to give conclusive answers to the source of our troubles. You can't do a mathematical mapping of cause and effect, but nevertheless we can, should, and must. And here's the key. Seek out hints. Even if we can only understand a fraction of what the Ribbono Shel Olam intends, he says every individual and community must look for hints. He happened to have looked for a hint in the parshios that it happened. Shalach, Korach, and Chukas. Balaam, from when it started to when it ends. And some of them are incredible. Rabbi Reisman himself, I heard Rabbi Reisman say, I don't have the ability to, but a Gadol B'Yisrael does. Again, we're looking to see our responsibility in terms of a hint. You want to hear what Rabbi Reisman said? Rabbi Reisman took in his shir a different approach. But he quoted the Gemara in Erech, and the Gemara is talking about the Aveira of Lashon Hara, and it speaks about there are three people in the Aveira of Lashon Hara that are affected, the speaker, the listener, and the subject. And you know what the Lashon of the Gemara is? Lashon Hara Hayreges Shloisha B'nei Adam. Now, of course, that means it kills three people, the speaker, the listener, and the subject. But if we came here, we can ask ourselves in terms of tonight's Zikaron and Hesped, I don't even think the words have to be translated. Lashon Hara Hayreges Shloisha B'nei Adam. And that's one area we have to be more careful. Rabbi Rosenblum goes on to say something that I thought was brilliant. He says, very often, the response to a tragedy may in and of itself be the hint to where our vulnerability lies. It's actually a much longer piece because of time being short. He basically goes on to say that if you take a look at the achdus that was generated during these 18 days, it was unprecedented. Everybody started their articles the same way. We actually didn't care if the kippah on the guy next to us was the same size and color as us. If the guy's coat was long, short, white, or black. There was actually a time, all the people wrote about this. I don't even like just saying acceptance and tolerance, but there was an acceptance and tolerance and a love of all people. He actually quotes the Tolner Rebbe. If you know the Tolner Rebbe, he's often speaking about uniting Klal Yisrael. He says, in introducing the Tolner Rebbe, he says, in these 18 days we learn to look at our fellow Jews, dafka the ones who don't wear the same yarmulke as us, because we learn to focus on what they do that's noble, admirable, and worthy of emulation. And then the Tolner Rebbe asked a question that's like a dagger in the heart. He posed the following question to all his weekly listeners. The question is, imagine if you were to see these three youths near you without the threat to their lives hanging over their heads. How much would you love them? How close would you feel to them? Why does it have to be a life-threatening situation for a Yid's heart to be opened up to another that's not exactly like them? The way he phrased the question was exceptional. What wouldn't we have done to have seen these three Bachrim? But if it were months ago, and we were saw them, or we were next to them, and it was someone from a different background, this way or that way, would you have felt the same love? And I want to tell you something that I spent a lot of time mentioning to my family members this week, because it's not so pleasant. This question of the Tolner Rebbe goes in both directions. I have had many conversations with different people in places that I've traveled, including a few people in the shul. And one person can tell, everyone can have their own opinion. I personally have one opinion. I mentioned it to someone, he felt differently. Our point is, this lack of acceptance and lack of tolerance goes in both directions. I don't know if I'm stereotyping. Haredi and Hasidish and modern, I don't know, everybody has their own name. I'm talking about, you want to talk about two groups, so call them a modern and a Haredi, call them whatever you want. The lack of tolerance and acceptance, the facial expressions of when one sees someone from another milieu is mind-boggling. I was just going to tell you my opinion, but I won't. Suffice it to say, the lack of tolerance and acceptance is strong in both directions. You can have people from a more Haredi or Hasidish world that may look down upon someone from a more modern background, and someone from a more modern background who cringes. Cringes when they see someone who's Hasidish, or you didn't get to know them. That's unacceptable. You know, for 18 days that didn't happen. For 18 days, as you'll see on some of the pictures, everybody from every background set aside their difference, and it was Am Yisrael Chai. That's it. Now, Naftali Frankel's brother said, don't do it till they come home. Don't stop. You see, the minute you stop doing what we did for 18 days, they weren't only killed, they died. Sometimes in traveling and in going to different communities, I can tell you the intolerance and lack of acceptance of someone from a different background is mind-boggling. It's so heartbreaking to me, and I see it in both directions. And so that's what I thought Rabbi Rosenblum is addressing when he said that type of those differences were set aside for 18 days, and they have to continue to be set aside. He says, maybe it's time that we very often escape from our own failings by turning our attention and our mouths to the failings of others. See, it's a lot easier to be critical of somebody else and tell somebody else what they did wrong. Very often we build our own fragile egos at the expense of others. But that's not what it's about. It's about having an ayin tova. It's about seeing what our common goal is and what we have, the common ground, and not our differences. There are people who do things differently. There are people from different backgrounds. Just now, in preparation for the trip, please God, I'll be taking on Monday, I'm learning the backgrounds of the Litvish Yid and the Polish Yid and the Ungarish Yid and the Romanish Yid and the Russian Yid. There are a lot of backgrounds. There's Hasidish and there's all backgrounds. But the point is to make sure that they don't die. There has to be that level of Am Yisrael Chai. It's interesting. I was, the day before yesterday, I had to tape. I went with my wife, and one of our daughters is going to Eretz Yisrael this year, so we had to go to the Israeli consulate down across from Bayside to get her a visa. The reason we had to do it that way is since it was Gila, she was born when we were studying in Eretz Yisrael, so it's not so easy to let the SEM do it. They have to actually do it there. This was Tuesday morning. And the fellow who was helping us was very friendly. We were a little bit nervous since her passport says Jerusalem. Will they give her a hard time in terms of when she enters the country to study, being able to leave, etc.? So the fellow in the Israeli consulate, he started asking me questions. He said, I'm telling you, don't have to worry. Were you or your wife born in Israel? No. Were your mother or father born in Israel? I said, no. He said, to my wife, were your parents born in Israel? No. So he said, you don't have to worry. Essentially, you're telling me that you're not connected, you have no connection to Israel at all. Isn't that correct? And I said to him, what? Everybody's connected to Israel. There were 18 days of Am Yisrael Chai, and that is something that has to continue. That means, in practical terms, that when we leave here tonight, the next time that there's someone from a different background who dresses differently, his coat is a different color, his yarmulke is there, or whatever you want, that's a great idea. Shake the person's hand. Don't cringe. Don't all of a sudden size them up. In preparing for, happens to be, I think it was Rabbi Reisman who said, he was talking about the ills of Lashon Hara and Sina and Machlokes, and he says, Klal Yisrael has enough Maktrigim, we have enough people who are enemies to prosecute against us. We don't have to do that to ourselves. I thought I learned quite a bit about these boys in the last few days in preparation. Somebody went 2 weeks ago to the scene of Eyal in that yeshiva I spoke to you about, Shavei Chevron. They went to his seat in the Beis Medrash. They all believed that he was obviously coming back, and hence the learning with the lights left on around the clock. Someone led this person who wrote the article over to his table where he was, and his Gemara still was. That's Eyal Yifrach 19. And under the Gemara, they found two notes that Eyal wrote in his own handwriting just before that ill-fated journey. And here it says to where, because it was written at a time that they didn't know what happened. And so the person who wrote the article took a look at the first note, and it said it was Eyal writing a detailed list of steps to take in order to work on his midos. And he said particularly he wants to strengthen himself in humility and in modesty and in derech eretz. So can we do that for him? Can we make sure that he didn't die and work on humility and modesty and derech eretz to all? He had another note. It was an outline of all the mesechtas that he wanted to learn in depth and in bikinis in the coming year. How could he have known at the time that he would have to learn all of those mesechtas but in the yeshiva shalmala? And instead of the chavrusas that he knew in the yeshiva and Shavei Chevron, it would be a chavrusas with the rishonim and achronim. So he's right, he detailed all of the mesechtas, the Sifrei Emuna, the Sfarim of Musar. They actually found this note. This is what he wanted to go ahead and to learn this coming year. And he is. But not the way that he originally understood it. So what about us? It's easy to go ahead and tell the other person what their failings and shortcomings are. But it's a time to make sure, like the Rambam says, don't violate the greatest cruelty of not letting this change you. In conclusion, before we see just a few minutes on the video, a few people brought this to my attention today. I'm grateful that they did. One of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, the Rav of Migdal Emek, one of the greatest Bonin, Kirov, Rav David Grossman. He's a name that many millions know who he is. The following story happened 3 years ago. I have it both in Hebrew and in English. This was written by the personal assistant to Rabbi Grossman. Because he was so busy all the time, he had a personal assistant that would be there to answer his phone calls and be in charge of the visits to his residence. So the person who was the gabbai, shall we say, in charge, tells this story that it was 3 years ago and it was my job to answer the phone and those who were going to come visit. One day I received a call and he went ahead and he heard the voice of Nar Tzair, a young boy. Shalom, Amar Hanar. And then he goes on to say, Shemi, my name is, this was 3 years ago, my name is Gilad Sheyar. Ani nar kiben yod gimel, I'm almost bar mitzvah. V'ani mevakesh, and I want to speak and to meet 5 minutes, Rabbi Grossman. So the attendant goes on to say that he always got these phone calls, hundreds and thousands. I only want the rabbi for a few minutes. His agenda was so busy. He spends time abroad. He's only here for a little bit of time. Every session is impossible. I started to tell the boy it's not so simple. He was persistent, he says, but be'emes, in truth, lo hevanti, says the gabbai. I didn't understand. Ma kol kach boer v'choshev l'yel kibben. What does a 13-year-old need to speak to Rabbi Grossman that's such a burning issue? Like, what does this Gilad Sheyar want? He tells him he doesn't know if it will happen. A little while later, the phone rings again. And it is the same person who answers. He's Shalom. Midaber Aviv Shel Gilad. I'm Gilad's father. And he goes on to ask him, he says, please make sure. He says, what is it you want? He says, please make sure, my son's about to do his bar mitzvah, please make sure that the meeting with Rabbi Grossman takes place. Maybe this will change your mind. We just went to our son and we asked him, we bought him talis and tefillin, Gilad wore talis, what do you want for your bar mitzvah? We were confident, like any child, he would say, tiyul, a special trip, I want a bicycle. What do you want for your bar mitzvah? He calls us over and he says, Abba, Ima, ani lo rotze klum la bar mitzvah chutz mi davar echad. I only want one thing. I only want a meeting with Rav David Grossman for 5 minutes. A 13-year-old who's now in Shamaya. That's all I want. Zeha matana hachi gedola shani yachal lekabel. That's all I want, is to meet the Rav for 5 minutes. Can I have it? When the Gabbai heard that, he said, I never heard such a request like that. And obviously, I granted it. I was so excited by the request. I set up the meeting, and I knew that it was only going to last 5 minutes. He walks into Rav Grossman. Gilad's father videoed this. And he said to the Rav, I came to you as my bar mitzvah present, and I have three questions that I want to ask. Can you answer? Question number one from an almost bar mitzvah boy. Ketzad zoichem lasis chesed. How do you do chesed? Question number two. Ketzad efsher liskos lahagia lalos chasodim b'roimas hakavos. How can you really do chesed on the greatest possible level? And question number three. Ketzad efsher lekadesh es Hashem. How do you sanctify God's name? That 5 minute meeting lasted an hour and 40 minutes. Rabbi Grossman spoke to Gilad for an hour and 40 minutes, and he answered the question. He explained to him how you do chesed, how you reach great levels of kindness, and how you're mekadesh the name of Hashem. Little could he have known that a little bit more than 3 years later, we'd be here tonight telling him we now have a new understanding of your bar mitzvah gift. You did us a chesed. For 18 days we were Am Yisrael Chai. You did us a chesed b'roimas ha-gavoyas. We reached unprecedented levels of unity. Perhaps like never before. And we learned new meanings to the words of how you are Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Barak. These three were karbonos. The difference is that karbonos usually have a mizbeach. These were three karbonos with no mizbeach. Now let the three questions of that pre-bar mitzvah boy sink in. Let's leave here tonight and tell Naftali Frankel and Gilad Sheir and Eyal Yifrach. I get the three questions. I know how to do chesed. I know how to reach high levels. And I know how to be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim Barabbah. They just did it in a way that we could have never imagined. We have to do it in a way that we make sure although they were killed, they don't die. I only attempted to deliver Divrei Hesper. Manoimar Manadabra, there isn't anything we could say. We're going to hug our children a little tighter. We're going to tell them how much we love them a little bit more. We're going to do all of that. But there are three families, the Frankels, the Yifrach, and the Sheah. Those families had children that died al kiddush Hashem. Those children are not going to be, as we know it, sovev l'shulchan Aruch around their table. Don't let tonight's coming be in vain. Remember all the lessons we spoke about. There's no tefillah le'ibah, the power of lashon hara, and make sure that you remember that when Klal Yisrael see someone, not exactly the same milieu, and not exactly the same background. Not only should there be love and acceptance, let it really be that Achenu, Kol Beis Yisrael. Hashem Yimkom Damam, Yizichron Baruch. You'll watch now two and a half minutes, and we should be zeicha to see these three karbonos that didn't have a mizbeach and tell them. We will carry on those notes and those questions that you lived and died for. It's kedai just to close the light for 2.5 minutes. Thank you.
Shit!